I don't think that's going to entail allowing them to go back and draw their retirements and to sit upon their past laurels, so to speak, and laugh at people like Nancy Pelosi or the other leaders of the Democratic Party. And there's going to have to be a very strict accounting. And I do believe it's going to happen. I really believe it will happen. But it will happen by degrees. Or otherwise, you know, I don't want to see the baby thrown out with the bathwater. I mean, we've lost too much. We've been through too much. We have seen our assets degraded.
I want to see a positive moving forward. I want to see a fixing of things that are broken, because the list of stuff that George Bush and his Republican cronies have broken in this country is almost too long to read.
Well, you know, there again, and there is accountability for one's behavior, and these people are going to have to be held accountable. But unfortunately, it just can't happen overnight. It's going to take some time. And it's going to take some time for this country to withdraw from Southwest Asia. And it's going to take some time for the errors that have been committed and for whatever types of apologies and, for lack of a better term, in other words, efforts to show the rest of the world that we have made a mistake and that we are in the position of trying to correct it, and we're going to punish those people who are responsible for the deaths of 600 and some odd thousand Iraqi civilians and the misspending of this vast sums of money. You know, we're going to have to, the whole world is watching this country right now to see exactly what we're going to do with this second chance.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't go in that direction, then shame on us. Basically, I would like to see Nancy Pelosi do what she originally said she was going to do and stick to her guns. And, you know, I would like to see a woman be president of this country. I think it's time for it. And it's time for a lot of change to occur. And, of course, change does not occur without pain. Change does not occur without a lot of things changing that will make a lot of people uncomfortable, even some of the people who may have voted for it. But that's just my position, just basically theorizing on the past 24 hours. I mean, we've seen an awful lot of events being overtaken in the past 24 hours.
And I think we're going to see a lot of bizarre stuff between now and January, Jim.
Well, I don't know what they can do. What can they do?
They can do anything that they can get a majority vote to pass and George Bush sign.
I don't think so. I think not.
Well, what's to stop them?
I think they realize that now they're going to try to realize, look, if we do any more, if we try any more of these bizarre actions, our heads could be in the block.
Well, it remains to be seen. I don't think this is going to be a lame duck session. I think they've got some evil up their sleeves.
Certainly.
We're late for the news, though, Jim. Thank you very much, and I do appreciate your thoughts, and I think many of them are valid. All right, to the news with us. It is time for the news. This is the Head-On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush announced today that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is resigning after they met and agreed that a new perspective on the Iraq War is needed. Mr. Bush has tapped Robert Gates, the former CIA director under George Bush Sr., as Rumsfeld's replacement. However, the Senate must still confirm that nomination. Just last week, Mr. Bush said Rumsfeld would stay at the Pentagon through the end of his term. In January, the Democrats will take control of the House of Representatives for the first time in 12 years. That follows results of yesterday's midterm elections, during which the party picked up 33 seats. Mr. Bush is expected to meet with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi tomorrow. The San Francisco Democrat is almost certain to become the new House Speaker, the first female to hold that position in U.S. history. Current House Speaker Dennis Hastert says he does not intend to run for Minority Leader in January. In the Senate, the Democrats now have 50 seats. In the close Montana race, Democrat John Tester is expected to beat the incumbent, Republican Conrad Burns. However, Burns has not conceded yet. In Virginia, Democratic challenger Jim Webb holds about a 7,000-vote lead against Republican incumbent George Allen. That's according to the New York Times, which reports that Webb is already planning his transition into the Senate. But Allen supporters have indicated they would challenge the vote count. If Webb does win, that would give Democrats control of the Senate. In non-election news, at least 18 Palestinians were killed in Israeli strikes on a residential neighborhood in Gaza today. The Israeli defense minister said the attacks were ordered as a way to halt artillery strikes in Gaza. Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh has since suspended talks on forming a unity government. In Iraq today, Parliament voted to extend the country's state of emergency for 30 more days. More than 60 Iraqis were either killed or found dead today. Also, the U.S. military reported the deaths of a U.S. soldier and a Marine, raising the death toll so far this month to at least 21. In Kentucky today, a former U.S. soldier pleaded not guilty to rape and murder charges of a 14-year-old Iraqi girl and the deaths of three of her family members in March. If convicted, the soldier could be sentenced to death. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are next. It's 2.5 minutes past the hour.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The BBC reports that British scientists have been able to restore vision in mice by transplanting retinal stem cells. Scientists say humans may benefit in the same way. The Federal Reserve reports that consumer borrowing was down in September by the largest amount since April of 1992. Part of the reason is a big drop in the number of auto loans. Japan has banned shipments from one U.S. meatpacking plant, Swift & Company's plant, in Colorado, that follows the arrival of a shipment that reportedly lacked proper documentation. A billionaire California businessman and a Los Angeles supermarket magnate have submitted a bid to buy the Tribune Company, which owns the Los Angeles Times. A Japanese technology group and News Corp will establish a 50-50 joint venture for MySpace in Japan. The service, which has more than 125 million users worldwide, is expected to start next year. The parent company of Airbus is reporting a $250 million third-quarter loss that's reportedly largely due to continuing delays in the production of the Airbus Super Jumbo A380 jet. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $59.94. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is up 20 points at 12,177. NASDAQ up 9 points. S&P 500 up 3 points. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Welcome back. 8 minutes after the hour. A little comment just passed through the chat room at headonradionetwork.com asking if we're happy yet or am I still going to be using great Drive-By Truckers tune, Hell No, I Ain't Happy, at the end of the program. I intend to continue using that song. And I'm going to use that song until the minimum wage is $20 an hour. I'm going to use that song until every single human being in this country can go to the doctor when they're sick. I'm going to continue using that song as long as there are Republicans. Because as long as there are Republicans, this country is at risk. Plain and simple. Let's go to the phones. A first-time caller with us, Teresa, calling from Canada. Teresa, welcome to the program. Thank you for your call.
Oh, hello, Bob. Yes, first-time caller. First of all, congratulations on your victory yesterday.
Thank you, I think.
Okay. So what I was calling up, I'm sure that Nancy Pelosi, wasn't she very careful to say that she wouldn't introduce articles of impeachment?
She was very careful to say that.
Yeah, because doesn't that mean, like, if John Conyers put it forward?
That's a distinct possibility, plus the fact that to say that anyone would introduce articles of impeachment right now is putting the cart about 8 miles out in front of the horse. You got to have the investigation mm-hmm. first.
Oh, definitely. Anyway, I just wanted to point that out. And, I kind of agree with Jim. I think he kind of had it right, your previous caller.
Well, Jim's sharp.
He certainly knows his history and everything. But, okay, just wanted to call and mention that.
All right. Well, thank you very, very, very much. I hope we'll hear from you again.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
Let me ask you real quick. What part of Canada?
Hamilton, Ontario.
Oh, sure.
Toronto.
Sure.
On the Great Lakes there. Better than Toronto, actually.
Yeah. beautiful, beautiful country.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very kindly, Teresa.
Okay. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And, Luke. Luke is with us. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program. Sorry about last night, man. That's the only unhappy spot in a very happy night.
Well, you know how it is. It's one of those things that, as I say, everybody kept quoting the Mason-Dixon poll, which was saying about 12 points. So,
yeah.
You know how that goes. It's like, say, the thing we were talking about today, a couple of my friends who were talking about it said, we've got a right-wing host on our local call, and I couldn't get through today because he was talking to all the political people in town, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to call him tomorrow and ask him, okay, now how much damage do you figure that Corker and the Republicans have done to the state of Tennessee? Because I figure probably for over the next couple of years, we're probably going to lose $300-400 million of business. Because I think every time there's a job opening where we're getting a chance to get some company to come in, if there's another city vying for it, all they're going to do is stick a tape in it that says, and play the commercial. And they're going to go, that's Tennessee.
Yeah, that's where you want to bring your employees to.
Yeah, especially if you have even a small percentage, or maybe over 10 or 12% African-American. Oh, yeah, that's really going to make them happy. Oh, and on that line, you wonder if Ken Melman or George Bush is going to go to that NAACP meeting this year?
I'm guessing they're done going to NAACP meetings.
But you remember, I heard somebody today talking about it, said, you know, what an interesting Melman went there last year. Oh, yeah, we want to build bridges to the African-American community.
Well, they built a bridge, all right. And then they burned it before they could cross it.
I was going to say, then they dynamited it.
Yeah.
It's like, God.
Well, you know, but like I said, the 2nd District of West Virginia went backward, too.
You know how it is. It's the way life goes. It's one of those things. Let's put it this way. The person who better be really scared is a man who wears a flannel shirt.
Silent Lamar.
Because I say, unless something else happens, I'd say the people in the Ford campaign are going, okay, let's get ready. We got 2 years.
Well, you know, I did a little reading earlier today that said that they're doing exactly that right now.
And the thing is, okay, you all showed us the way. Okay, let's see now. We can pull every dirty trick in the book, and we can even go after the family. God, this is going to be so much fun.
You know, that's the one thing I got out of that. I think Bart Kopp was right. Watching Julia Corker for the next couple of years is going to be a real hoot. And that is unless Bob has sent her to a nunnery.
Well, I'll probably send her off with Barbara and Jenna.
Nuns gone wild.
It's one of those things, you know, how amazingly down here it never got mentioned.
Did it really not?
Not that I know of.
Well, where is this St. Mary's school? Did you ever find out?
No.
I mean, are the Corker girls too good to go to school in the great state of Tennessee?
It's one of those things. I really haven't looked up on it that much. And like I say, there's a hand. two or three different St. Mary's. I just don't know which one it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's one of those things. I can't tell which one it is.
Of course, you've still got a Democrat in the governor's office.
Well, like I say, that's one thing I'd hoped for. And maybe that'd be part of the reason it was close, is because I'm hoping Bredesen had some good coattails. Because he essentially won with 70% of the vote.
And as David in Nashville pointed out earlier, the guy who's succeeding Harold Ford in Memphis is a Jim Dandy. Steve Cohen. Are you familiar with him at all?
Yeah. Steve is the one who, more than anybody else, pushed the lottery through Tennessee.
Really?
Yeah. If it's Steve Cohen, I'm thinking it is.
Steve Cohen from Shelby County.
Yep. He was one of the major forces in getting us to change the Constitution, so they took the lottery ban out. Is one of those things that's a few years ago, but you know what I mean. That was one of his.
I'm sure the religion industry was out there enforcing. Oh, we'll all go to hell if we've got scratch off games.
They're the ones standing over scratching off the game.
For all they're worth, you're darn right. And of course, Tennessee is still there, and the lottery hasn't destroyed it.
It's like I've always said to me. It's like the adult bookstores. Like I say, I'm not going to worry about them until I see the people out on the street with a shotgun going, "Come on in, you got to come in." You know, the same thing with the lottery. Until somebody comes out with a gun and starts pointing, saying, "You got to come in here and buy tickets," I'm not worried about it. I'll buy one every once in a while. You know what I mean? But it's like it's not something that you're forced to do.
No, the lottery is what the lottery is, and the lottery. I include myself because, you know, I scratch off the stupid games. I occasionally buy the Powerball ticket. And the lottery is a voluntary tax upon the stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I include myself among the stupid from time to time.
Well, me too. As I always say, it's my favorite game. It's what I call iffin'. Iffin' I won, what would I do? It's the most fun game in the world. You pay a dollar, you get a ticket, and for the next 2 days, you can dream big.
Well, yeah, and you know the other game I play, and I think there are several different versions of this, Luke. The other game I play is I buy the Powerball ticket and I say, "Dear God, please don't let me win."
Yeah, reverse psychology. Come on.
Well, no, it's not just that. We've got an object lesson here in West Virginia, Jack Whitaker. You know, this guy won the biggest Powerball jackpot to date at the time he won it. Got some 300 and some odd million dollars dropped on him, and promptly lost his mind. I mean, we're talking about tragic stuff, Luke. Bought his granddaughter 4 automobiles and 2 houses and whatever. Did the Today Show appearance in the black hat and no teeth, and said, "I'm giving a bunch of this money to Jesus," and it turned out Jesus was a stripper.
Is this the one they caught? Where he used to go to the strip clubs with a steel briefcase.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this is that guy, and it's tragic stuff. The granddaughter winds up deader than a mackerel. Her boyfriend winds up deader than a mackerel. Methed, cracked, whatever, out of their minds. He hides her body behind the wood pile. You know, so I buy these things every now and then. And go, "Jesus, don't let me win."
Oh, I tell you what. Oh, the one I heard today. I heard somebody say. You know, they said, Bush invited Pelosi to lunch, and everybody said, "Quick, get the food taster, hurry!"
Yeah, I mean, I'm coming, George, but I'm bringing McDonald's. What do you like, the fish sandwich or the double cheeseburger? We're having the 99-cent menu, buddy.
Well, the other thing is, okay, now with this thing with Rumsfeld, okay, do we start the Cheney countdown now? It's like we've thrown Rummy under the bus. Who's next?
Well, that's like if you go to the website of our good friends, let's check the update. Our good friends at WD40.com, they've had a counter up there for some time, and today it says it's been 2,073 days since Cheney's last heart attack. Please send bacon.
A bacon and lard sandwich, please.
Yeah, with extra lard. I don't know what. Yeah, I think you're probably right. He'll go under. Well, let's put it this way, Luke. He'll go under the bus before Dear Leader does.
Well, I wonder. It could be fun seeing who throws who under the bus first. This could be a duel, you know. But you know, it's like say it was like this news conference. I was sitting here watching bits and pieces of it. It's sort of like.
Well,
it was a Twilight Zone. It's like, oh yeah, I knew. I lied to y'all. Yeah, you know how it is. I knew he wasn't going to be doing it.
Well, I loved the quote.
am obviously disappointed with the outcome of the election, and as the head of the Republican Party, I share a large part of the responsibility.
I love it when he loves to take responsibility things, but at the same time, oh yeah, but it doesn't mean anything. It's like, yeah, I take responsibility. So what? My question is, should we all send flowers? Should we all send a? I heard today, I think it was on Stephanie Miller's show earlier today. She said, do you think we all should all just send a blank email to Rush Limbaugh with a line, Madam Speaker Pelosi? You know? or was it Senator McCaskill?
Well, you know, I'm sitting here looking at a story even as we speak from the creeps at Newsmuck. Rush Limbaugh, why Republicans lost? Well, the Republicans
lost. He led.
Well, the Republicans lost because you went, you turned on your little video cam and made a lot of fun of a crippled guy. That, you know, that'll do it every time, Errol Rush, buddy.
I wrote a thing to him one time, and it was sort of to Kurt, and I knew it wasn't going to be get published, but I put it in anyway on one of his talks, and I said, let's see now. We have a self-admitted drug dealer who deafened himself, then demanded pity because he deafened himself, and to this day has never apologized for that. And this is the person we're supposed to be listening to as sane?
Well, yeah, I mean, I love this. This is a comment directly from his show today, Luke. He says, there was no dominating conservative message that came from the Republican top and filtered down through this campaign. Yeah, there was. You know, wasn't
if you don't like Democrats, the terrorists win.
Right. You know, if the Democrats win, Al-Qaeda wins and we surrender. I mean, that's almost a quote, and that was their message. Now, that was a dominating message. The problem is that dominating message was a lie, and it was filthy, and it was dirty, and it was divisive, and it was poisonous.
Well, you know, we were talking a while ago about things going on, the dirty tricks. I tell you what, when I finally saw the final scores on Tammy Duckworth thing, I'm sitting there going, please let the FBI find these guys. I really want to see some people hang.
Yeah.
These guys from the robocalls. I want to, if I say, I just want them identified. Let the Democratic Party have fun. Guys, can we say the word suit? Lawsuit?
Yeah, and sue the Republican National Committee. That's, I mean, I'm, like I said earlier in the program, Luke, I don't have any of this Lincolnian with malice toward none and with charity for all. We can't afford that right now. Every day that we do not end the war, every day that the Democrats do not demand that the troops be brought home, they sign a death warrant for another individual in Iraq.
Well, it's one of those things. It's like, say, you know, if Pelosi and them go up there and do it, that's fine. You know, keep them busy. You know, if you say, you know, dazzle them with BS, and let's let everybody else work behind the scenes, and let's have some fun with
I guess there's a good reason that I'm not in that line of work, Luke, because if I went to that lunch tomorrow, I'd be all nice, and somewhere along the way, I'd have to look at him and say, you know, of course, your war is over.
You look at him and give him our favorite line. You, of course, know this means war.
Yeah, or in our particular case, you know, of course, this means no war.
True enough.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, it's like, you know, this thing with Rumsfeld, it's like, who was it? It was Bill Maher the other a week or two ago on his show said somebody said something about with our predictions, and he said predictions, he said look at them, find me one prediction they've made in the last 5 years that was correct. You know, these guys are batting 0-0-0.
Right. You know? Right.
And I'm supposed to take them seriously when they say that we predict, you know, such and such is going to happen if the Democrats are elected. It's like, with your all's track record, don't make me laugh real, real hard, please.
And see, they're already some of these major media outlets are already predicting the demise of the Democratic majority because of internecine strife. You've probably already seen this, but this business of...
Of course, it was only those right-wing Democrats that were elected. You know?
Yeah, right, and... the Washington Post saying, this nation is right of center. Horse hockey.
I'm going to say, heard today, I think he probably could find on his thing, Tom Hartman was essentially saying, you know, he said, look, said you know, he always says, we deal from the radical middle. He said, that's where we are. You know, said, when you look at most of our things, it's like this thing, you know, with the 100 hours, you know, all these things Pelosi's got coming up. all of them are basic common sense. It's like, you know, gee, you know, we really would like to, you know,
no more bribery.
Yeah, no more
Boy,
bribery.
That's radical.
Well, you know what I mean? And how about if we let seniors, you know, bulk buy their drugs so they can actually make some money? You know
communism.
What I mean?
Pure communism.
Oh, God, really? I mean, you know. And it's like they were going through like five or six of them, and it's like, tell me which one of these is is out on the fringe.
The raising the minimum wage to $7 sometime before the year 2080.
And the thing is, well, six more states already passed it, you know, last night, and it's sort of like, gee, it's probably more now have a higher minimum wage than the ones that don't.
Well, see, and that's where my radicalism kicks in. I think it would behoove progressives to start beating down the doors and screaming $7 is not enough. You know, the minimum wage needs to rise to about $9 now, and it needs to be $12 in about 4 years.
Well, it's one of those things. You know what I still say? That one of the things they ought to do is, okay, no congressman or senator's wages can go up unless the minimum wage goes up.
Well, exactly.
I mean, whatever you're making, that's it until the minimum wage goes up. You can't do a thing. You know, it's like the other day there, Jack Cafferty had one of his questions. You know, what would be your first, you know, if you had a chance to put in a, what is they call it, out of California, you know, where they have the different things. And he said, what would you do? And I wrote mine in. I said, the first thing I'd do is no Secretary of State who's in charge of an election can be connected to any campaign.
Oh, you Bolshevik, you.
You know, or else, you know, it's like we say, let's go shoot some voting machine.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's a chance out there to fix a lot. The question is, do we want to?
Well, it's one of those things. I'm hoping that Waxman, I'm not sure who exactly it falls under. If I was the boys at Diebold and ESS and the other two or three companies, I'd be real scared because I'd say there's subpoenas heading their way.
Well, and I'd say there's probably, based on yesterday alone, there's probably, if these secretaries of state and these election commissioners and ballot commissioners and whatnot, if they faithfully execute their duties, there are some significant breach of warranty lawsuits coming.
Oh,
and frankly, if we broke every election machine manufacturer on product liability lawsuits, and you know, the Republicans are always worried about that. You know, trial lawyers are destroying. You know what? I want to destroy that segment of business in America. I want to destroy Diebold, or at least their election machine manufacturing. They do a pretty good job with bank teller drive up drawers.
I mean, you know, it's like somebody and people have said this off and on. They said, would you trust an ATM that didn't give you a receipt? You know,
well, right, and you know, an ATM gives you the right. It never gives you too much money, does it?
Not that I've ever seen. But like I say it's one of those things. It's like, guys, you can fill this, but you can't fill me one that would give me that little card that says, "Here's how you voted." You know, here's your choices. Da, 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 da.
Exactly.
I mean, you can
exactly.
Have it pop up on the screen and make it pop up there. It's like, it's like, guys, oh shoot, it's just my money. What would I care? You know, knowing what that is.
Yeah, it's only my vote.
It's like I used to tell them. I said, you know, on some of these machines, they should just put the handle on the side so you can just like a one-armed bandit.
Don't wear nothing.
Well, I tell you what, it's bottom of the hour, bud. Let me let you go.
All right, I love the way you guys watch the clock.
Well, I'm bad about it, so I have the VCR clock sitting here staring at me, going
beep 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 beep. All right, Luke, thanks a lot, brother.
Howdy.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye now. And Luke and I were talking about the lottery in Tennessee, and another Tennessee listener chimes in and says, shall we send all that cash to neighboring states or keep it in the state of Tennessee? The lottery purchasing guys that shouldn't buy lottery tickets were buying them in other states. There are now several bazillions have been spent here as opposed to there. You know, and I agree. I mean, frankly, I wish the fact of the matter is if casino gambling was legal in every state in the union, there would probably be a lower gambling problem because it wouldn't have the panache and the glamour attached to it of going to Vegas or Vegas's trashy baby sister, Atlantic City, or, you know, the Gulf Coast, or Northern Mississippi, Tunica. There in my boyhood home in the Shoals, there are... title loans places all over the place because it's not too long a drive to Tunica. So you can put your car in hock and drive to Tunica and lose the car and come home and turn it back in. Jesus. Okay, let's keep Roy, our good friend Roy, is calling from Texas. Hey, Roy, welcome to the program.
Man, we had a good night.
Oh, it was fun.
I'm telling you what, we could not have hired an artist to paint something that could have turned out any better.
Absolutely, and I want to keep building on it. I want to keep the pressure on, don't you?
Yeah. But I tell you what, that was just amazing.
Well, one of the things that was pointed out along the way, you know, because we were on the air till 2:30, well, 1:30 your time.
Yeah.
One of the things that was pointed out to me was this was living vindication of Howard Dean's 50-state strategy. And if that is the case, and I believe it is, then the next thing is in 2008, we go down south and we start banding together with the good liberals and progressives there, and we start saving places like Alabama and Mississippi and Texas and the so forth.
Yeah.
You know, if we could help you, if we could help you all get rid of John Cornyn, wouldn't that just be a wonderful thing?
Oh, my God, that'd be wonderful. But I tell you what, we all owe Howard Dean one hellacious thing.
You're absolutely right. You know, toward the end of the evening, I was getting a little bit punchy, Roy, and I began to wonder, and I didn't say it out loud, I began to wonder if maybe yesterday Howard Dean didn't earn himself the nomination for the presidency in 2008.
Well, that's possible. But, you know, the day he was selected as the head of the DNC, he called hell and they tried to demonize him. They've done everything. He kept going. You know, he had plenty of fights inside our party because of the way he done things. But he stuck with it, and when it was all said and done, he beat them he had more money than they did coming to the finish line, and he got out the vote. He done the whole smear.
Yes, he did. And like I said, I'm proud of him. I've got a lot of problems with the Democratic Party in many instances, and that's why I love it so much, because it is my party and it does tolerate dissent, and we do work on fixing it. But I've been proud of Howard Dean all along the way. He was my second choice behind Dennis Kucinich in 2004.
Yeah.
Of course, that kind of indicates that John Kerry was no better than third, and I can promise you he wasn't third.
But it was just amazing. And I have always been a Nancy Pelosi fan. I know she catches lots of hell, and they have done everything they can to demonize her. But she is a tough gal and very, very smart, in my opinion.
Well, I think she is, too. And she hasn't gotten to where she is by being a milk toast.
No.
You know, what I expect to happen tomorrow is somewhere along the way during lunch with George Bush, the lights are going to go dark. Dick Cheney's going to wander into the room, look her squarely in the eye and say, "I know where your grandchildren live."
Yeah.
And turn around and George will say, "Well, that's lunch." I mean, they're going to do everything they can to intimidate her, because you got to remember, Roy, these Republican SOBs are unreconstructed sexists. Mm-hmm. They don't believe that Nancy Pelosi has any business being in the Congress.
You're right.
And they're going to try to intimidate her. They're going to try to smear her. They're going to call her everything. I mean, they're going to call her everything publicly, but an out and out whore. And they're going to do everything that they can to try to take away from her leadership position and from her ability to lead. Now I'm cutting her slack. Look, she can't do a damn thing until January of 2008 or 2007.
Right.
So what she does between now and then, fence mending, bridge building, that kind of stuff, I want her to be doing it.
Well, certainly, but I'm going to tell you what. After all of their cut down and everything like that,
make them like it.
That she will beat them and make them like it. And, but I have no idea on Harry Reid in the Senate. I don't dislike him or anything like that.
I've seen him cave a few too many times for my liking.
But I almost have a feeling that they might go with a different speaker there.
I really wish they would.
But I almost, I know how the Republicans are. I know very well. But, oh, let me, before I forget this. Last night, MSNBC was the one that I watched the most. And whenever old Catherine Harris went down, her and that Secretary of State out in Ohio.
Kent Blackwell, yeah.
Yeah. They both bit the dust at the same time. And MSNBC, I think it was Chris Madden. Anyhow, he done his little ha, and he said, well, payback time. Those two from the year 2000 and the year 2004 election, they got their payback. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, they earned it. You know, but then later on I heard Chris Matthews say that last night was a victory for conservatism, and I was about halfway asleep, and that's one of those things that felt like one of those screaming nightmares.
Yeah.
Victory for conservatism.
Well, it wasn't.
But we heard from our mutual friend Rick last night later on in the show, and sounded like he was feeling pretty good too.
Yeah. We emailed back and forth a little bit, and he had sent different little things along and what have you. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard back from him.
Well, he was up pretty late. He may be running a little slow today.
Yeah. I was up till 3 a.m. I was up till they said, well, we're going to hope Montana will report by 7 a.m. I thought, well, not going to.
Well, I think it's done myself.
Oh, I think so. I don't think. Of course, he's as stupid as stupid can get, but I don't think Alan will want to recount that down there.
Might get worse. Roy, good to hear from you.
Good to hear you, and man, it's a good night.
Let's enjoy it, and then let's get to work.
You got it.
All right, take care.
Goodbye.
Bye now. And onward to our good friend Wayne. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
You're doing good. I'm doing good. We're all doing good.
Oh, great day. Great day, Bob.
Okay, here you go, man. Here's your 10-second gloat. Go.
Okay. I've said many times on this program during the last few months that I have this unshakable faith in the American people, and, you know, they proved that faith was not unwarranted. And
you predicted both houses, man.
And we got them, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yes, we did. And, you know, and that's the American people. That's who that thanks goes to.
Yeah, and
finally woke up and said, wait a minute.
That's the people banging on doors. That's the people phone banking. That's the people licking envelopes till their tongues are cut.
Exactly. And you know, people that really cared and believed and got out there and worked, and look what we've done. And I think we're in for some exciting times. West Virginia, there's a couple races I lost that I feel real bad about, but overall, if you'll pardon my expression, we kicked Don Blankenship's ass.
Oh, we kicked it clean back across the Tug Fork River.
I mean, you know, here's a man that's set up to put Republicans in control of the House in state of West Virginia, And the fact of the matter is, when it's all said and done, Democrats gained 4 seats in the House to even further their majority, and 2 seats in the Senate.
Yeah, threw out a couple of incumbent Republicans.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. And, you know, this victory in the House just pretty much guarantees that our man will be Speaker. And do you know what a powerful position that is?
Oh, yes, I do.
We don't have to beg and crawl to try to get our agenda noticed or be put on the schedule.
Well, that's the other thing, Wayne. In this state and across the United States, it was refreshing because all the numbers that I'm seeing say that organized labor came out and, by God, flexed its muscle.
That's exactly right. I heard the best thing I heard for a long time on right-wing show this morning here. You know who I'm talking about. It's these unions, he said. And I said, you damn right it's these unions, buddy.
It's these working people.
That's exactly right. So it was...
Wayne, we've talked about this in the past, too. I want to see them stay militant.
Well, I do, too. And I'm going to tell you something. I think you guys and Brother Ed, who I love and respect, and, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, if you need somebody on your back, you need Ed, man, because that's the guy that will be there for you. But I think you guys are misinterpreting Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is a Democrat. She knows what she's doing. She's a diplomat.
She's flying under the radar is what she's doing.
That's exactly what she's doing. And, you know, she might say that we're not going to proceed with impeachment, but she does say investigations. And the whole thing there is those investigations are going to uncover such heinous crimes that, well...
The investigations discover the impeachable offenses.
There you go.
Yeah,
and
no,
now
I mean...
Now we have no choice. These crimes are so grievous to the United States of America and the people.
Yeah, she can't
impeach them.
Yeah, she couldn't come on TV this morning and say, you know, we're setting the guillotine up next to the Washington Monument.
Well, exactly. And, you know, there's another thing to remember. That setup goes on both sides. You know, just like Bush with his rummy thing and, you know, people, well, he's setting us up. Yeah, go ahead, man. He's, we got it. Brother, I'm telling you, you watch and see what Nancy Pelosi does. I think that's one of the best things that's happened. And Charlie Rangel. Look at the change. I mean, you know, these are all the things that the right wing's been trying. Well, Charlie Rangel's going to be, what tech's he going to be?
Oh, I can't.
Chairman or whatever.
Well, you know, Conyers is judiciary, and that's. I mean, there are thousands. There are thousands of dirty Republican operatives all over the country right now, who are sweating and hiding assets and doing everything that they can because they know that John Conyers is gonna be doing some hardcore investigating.
That's exactly right. And Charlie Rangel is going to straighten up things. And,
yeah. You know, Conyers held hearings, Wayne, when they wouldn't let him have a room to hold him in. Yeah.
In the basement. That's exactly right.
You know, Conyers, it was the political equivalent of having to hold hearings at the back of the bus.
And, you know, one of the greatest moments of the night, and I would imagine you saw this, and I don't know if everybody is familiar with it, but, you know, the Republicans have been running ads about Robert Byrd, and Robert Byrd claiming to be Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Calls himself, that's his nickname, Big Daddy. Yeah. When he won last night, of course, they announced that he won within the first minute of the polls closing.
Yeah.
I mean, what did he end up with, 73%?
Oh, it was a rat killing.
Right, you know. And Robert Byrd got up on that stage and said, "Who's your daddy now?"
Hey, John Racy, I'm your daddy.
Yeah. It was a wonderful night, man, wonderful night. So.
Well, it was, and now the hard work begins.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. And, you know, and now our job begins, too. We can't let up.
Yeah, so. And see, I'm not... I like the majority that we've got. I'd like it if it was about 100 bigger.
We're going to do that in 208.
Right.
Just that simple, you know. But we got to keep working, got to keep going. And we're going to turn this nation around. Can you, you know, you could almost see or hear a collective... sigh of relief from the entire world over what happened here.
Yeah, you could feel the earth go,
My God, yeah, maybe we'll get somebody.
Yeah, and I'm still going to be kind of radical on some issues, Wayne. I think a $7 minimum wage 3 years from now is unacceptable.
I agree.
I think an Iraq war that we talk about, say, well, you know, we'll think about, you know, we'll commission a study to determine how slowly we can bring the troops home. That's unacceptable. The war's got to end. Working people got to come home from Iraq and get back to work, because we got a country to rebuild, and it ain't Iraq.
No, and that would be our greatest homeland security, is to rebuild the infrastructure of this country, make our ports and borders safe. You know, let's worry about us.
Yeah, and you know, we have pledged, and it's time for us to follow through on our pledge, Wayne, because you were part and parcel of it, as was I. We have pledged that we will be twice as hard on a Democratic majority in Congress as we ever were on a Republican majority.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
And yeah, I don't know, you might not have been tuned in at the time that I said this, but I've come up with, call it a slogan, call it what you will. I'm going to call it what I'm going to live by. I am going to demand that this Democratic majority work as hard as the people who put them in office.
That's exactly, and they have to do that. They have to be held accountable.
2 years.
They have to know you saw our power. Now, we can do, you know, we can use that for or against you in 2008. Your test begins now.
Right, and, you know, the 2 years of 16, 17, 18-hour days is not too much to ask. I'm living proof of that, Wayne.
No, that's exact. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
You can go 16, 17, 18 hours a day, and you'll be all right. You'll be tired, but when you accomplish something, you're going to feel mighty good about it.
Well, and there's no doubt as to how you accomplished that. You accomplished that with hard work. And
that's all I ask of them. And it's not just me. It's the mother who gets up and goes to work at Cracker Barrel, pulls 8 hours on her feet, and then goes to work at another job.
Exactly.
And it's the father who works, maybe at Jiffy Lube for 8 hours and goes to another job, all because they got little children who they hope won't have to do that someday. And you know what? If those people can do it, by God, the Democrats that we have sent to the Congress can do it for 2 years. I'm sorry, I'm preaching. I apologize.
No. But that's right. They have to be held accountable, 100%. And they don't have any excuses now. You are the majority. You are the chairs of everything.
Time to quit bitching and start leading.
Blame anybody. Now, I'm looking at a quote on Bart Cop here. The guy says, Republicans thought the voters would greet them as liberators. Bob Harris, who's he?
I don't know.
Okay.
But that's a
good line. It's a good line.
Yeah, and you know, I expect they'll try to confirm this sleaze bucket that's been nominated to be the new Secretary of Defense during this lame duck session of Congress. I hope we can maybe stop that. It was pointed out to me, and I hadn't mentioned it yet. This guy was president of the president of Texas A&M University. Okay.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. This guy's going to be Secretary of Defense. He couldn't even protect 3 students from dying in a bonfire collapse.
What was his position under 41? He worked for 41.
Oh, he worked for 42, too.
Oh, he did?
CIA director.
Okay.
He's a spook. I don't need a spy running wars.
No.
I need an ex-general running wars. How about Eric Shinseki for Secretary of Defense?
So. It sounds like,
you know, the guy who told them how to do this right the first time.
And they wouldn't listen to him, so did they fire him?
Well, he got retired.
He retired, yeah.
To spend more time with his family.
Yeah. Got to spend more time with the family, all that stuff. Well, it's a very exciting day and very exciting times. Who said that? Chris Matthews? That this is a
victory for conservatism.
Yeah, right. You know, these guys have moved the middle so far right.
Yeah.
That, you know.
But it's it's not just Chris Matthews, Wayne. It's all over the place today.
They got to have some kind of victory.
The Republicans, the filthy monster, Grover Norquist. The only reason the Democrats won is they ran on Republican principles.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because we know what a Republican principle the minimum wage is. Can't have a $2 raise 3 years from now without giving a $100 million tax break to Paris Hilton and Anna Nicole Smith.
Right. There you go.
I see, we've got our boots on their neck, and I don't want to take it off.
I don't either, and we can't. And I don't, you know. And that's all I'm saying, you know, don't confuse Nancy Pelosi's diplomacy with weakness.
No. No, she's not. I mean, she's not going to go and throw the food at George or anything tomorrow.
No, oh, no, she won't.
I expect they will try to get under her skin because they have no respect for her.
They're messing with the wrong woman, I think.
Yeah.
I have great admiration for her.
And when Dick Cheney comes in and tells her that he knows where her grandchildren live, which, you know, they'll do that. I expect her to say, you know, well, I know where you plug your heart in, buddy.
Yeah, there you go. You know, see this little thing? It's a miniature microwave. Where's that pacemaker at?
Clear.
There you go. All right, pal.
Thanks, Wayne.
I'm getting off here.
All right, take it easy.
All right, bye.
Bye now. We can laugh some. Sure we can. Let's talk to Mitch, our good buddy Mitch out in California. Hey, Mitch, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Bobby. Yeah, we can laugh. I'm the last person you want to call now. You're on this high now. So you started off the show like, oh, blah, da, da, da. Now you're on this high. Everything's going to be rosy and up to the boop.
I ain't said everything's going to be rosy.
Here I am calling to drag you back the right way where you began the show. I'm worried about between now and the day these guys are in office.
I'm scared to death about the lame duck session.
Yeah, I'm just, you know what I mean, because I thought it would happen before the election. I was wrong, but
Remember, Bush 41 started the war in Somalia and then handed it off to Bill Clinton. That's the kind of sleazy SOBs these people are.
Well, I'm just worrying that you know, that Bush might figure that, you know, it's time to remind the people that, you know, what they should be afraid of.
Right. I was talking.
We forgot, you know.
Yeah, talking with Susan earlier, I said I figure it's the West Coast turn.
Yeah, you know, and I live in L.A., so that's wonderful. You know, I think L.A.'s safe. You know what I mean? I think L.A.'s the safest place in the world. You know why? Because of Hollywood. Kim Jong-il loves movies. I mean, the last place he wants to do is disturb the movie capital of the world, you know?
Yeah.
As long as they keep making movies here, we're safe, you know, because nobody wants to, you know, nobody wants to stop the production of the movies, you know? I think, so, you know, the safest place to be is to run the 20th Century Fox in case of a nuclear attack, you know? Oh, God. And these guys, now it's going to be nice, you know, kind of, we can send the Republicans down to the basement office, you know? You know, we're down there to talk about whatever they got to talk about, you know, where they used to send Kanye's and everybody else when he had the sessions about the Downing Street memos.
Yeah.
Incredible, man. Just incredible. I hope Pelosi is flying under the radar. I hope they're scheming. I hope they got their plans all laid out. I hope the day they take office, they just have the investigations begin.
Now we start playing chess and we start being two and three and four moves out in front.
Exactly.
And we leave it to the Republicans to play checkers for a while.
Exactly. 2 years isn't a long time,
That's why we've got to have a Congress that's willing to work 16-hour days.
Right, and you know, if you don't get rid of these guys now, they're going to come back to haunt you. They're going to come back to haunt you. They came from the Nixon administration, like specters, like ghouls.
It rose from the swamp.
Yeah, like they survived in the swamps all these years. They rose again. And here they are in this administration. These guys will come back again, and they'll come back in different forms. It'll be the Ralph Breed. Well, everybody will, by that time, you'll forget that, you know, that he was such a criminal, you know. And it'll be all these younger guys coming up with the same philosophy. You get, like you said, you got to crush the philosophy.
Yeah.
You have to crush the philosophy because there's so many guns.
I think the other side understands that, Mitch, because that's why we're seeing everything up and down the conservative movement saying, well, you know, from Rush Limbaugh onward, we were beaten by conservative Democrats. Liberalism. I mean, this is a direct quote. I've got it right here in front of me. Here it is. Here it is. The Democratic leadership had gone out and recruited conservative candidates because they knew liberals could not win running against Republicans in red state.
Well, you know what? I'd say this, since there's no Republicans around anymore, we might as well pick up a few of their bench rates. you know, the old Republicans, because there's no Republicans around anymore, so what the hell, you know? You know, if they had a few good things going for them, we might adopt, you know? But, I mean, you know, I mean,
yeah, we could adopt the idea of funding and supporting liberal talk so that so that you can't turn the radio dial or click on the computer without hearing it. That's a Republican idea worth picking up.
Because that
is where they got their success initially, was having their message out there 365 days a year for about 48 hours a day.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, the real Republicans, the Eisenhowers and those guys, I mean, you know, I mean, who doing, I mean, these guys were real men. I mean, these weren't thieves and fly-by-night pirates, you know, trying to make a fortune off the bones of people. These were real men.
Yeah, but they're out there, Mitch, right now, they're out there lying for all they're worth. Again, from Flush Flimball. Our side hungers for ideological leadership, and we're not getting it from the top. Conservatism was nowhere to be found in this campaign from the top. Yes, it was. This campaign was about conservatism. Conservatism failed. The hatefulness, the bigotry, the philandering, the political corruption, the economic corruption, all of this is part and parcel of conservatism.
Did you see
and,
the press conference today?
Yeah.
Did you see him? Did you see how? I mean, he really doesn't get it. He doesn't understand this was a referendum on him. He has no idea that this was something to do with him and his administration.
He can't confess that.
About four times he kept saying, I don't understand why you say that. That couldn't be, you know. I mean, it was about individual little races.
Personally responsible for the Talent McCaskill race in Missouri. Because, among other things, he's a Missouri boy. You know, I mean, they've named, like, Cape Girardeau Rush Limbaugh Day two or three times out there. This was, you know, he absolutely bought, paid for, and owned the failure of the Jim Talent campaign. If I was Jim Talent, I'd be walking right now. If I couldn't find a car, I would be walking till I found Rush Limbaugh, and I'd tire iron him if I was Jim Talent.
I tell you, man, there's so many things about these people. I mean, when you try to sort out one thing or the other that you can go after them for, I mean, every time you hit bottom, there's a trap door.
Yeah,
you know, and you fall through another, and you fall through further, and you find a shovel. You know, I mean, there's no. It's like I said once before to you. It's like a rabbit hole. I mean, guys like me and you have been able to see and allowed ourselves to see a little deeper into what they're doing. But when you really get into how thick this mist is, this fog is, they spread. It's just incredible. I mean, people are just starting to shake their heads. Now, this wasn't a victory last night. This was like we were in a fight. All we did last night was get our backs off the ropes in the first part, and they put them on the ropes. That's all we did. And now we got to, you know, when you get someone on the ropes, you got to finish them, man. In boxing, they say you got to finish them. You got to have the killer instinct. You know, this is the one time, I mean, I'm for a guy who's a pacifist, the killer instinct is something, you know, I shouldn't be professing, but what we, you know, it's what we got to do. We got to finish them. They can never come back in this form, you know?
No, not if we're going to save this nation. Mitch, we got to roll on. We're out of time, brother.
I love you, brother.
Love you too, man.
Give my love to Agnes.
Sure will. Take care.
Bye.
Love all you guys. This is amazing. We're out of time. Everybody else who's on hold, I apologize. This is Conversation Radio, and we're, by God, going to have some conversation. So we'll be back tomorrow night, and Bruce will be up at 10 p.m. Eastern, an hour from now. Let's carry the conversation on there. What do you say? The program tonight was produced by my lovely, talented, darling wife, Agnes, and her several extra degrees of temperature. It was engineered by John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Brian Reznor announced. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida, makes all the little bits and bytes and packets go where they're supposed to do. And we sure do appreciate it. We also appreciate the moderators in the chat room, headonradionetwork.com. If you've never been there, you should go. It's a lot of fun. We also appreciate all the efforts of our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Every one of the programs on the Head On Radio Network, starting with Dr. Bill O'Brien and going on through Mark Levine, Joe Vecchio, the Guy James Radio Show, John Fox is all foxed up. This program and the Bruce Birch radio program all happen because there are thousands and thousands of dedicated members of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They get up every day and they go and they build the American dream. They had a big part in what happened yesterday. They are committed also to saving the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.
A gallon of gas and a gallon of milk. That's what 1 hour of minimum wage work will buy. For nearly a decade, Virginia's minimum wage has remained pitifully low at $5.15 an hour.
When the plant closed, I took this job paying just a little more than the minimum wage. But I still can't support my family. Somebody should raise the bar.
America needs a raise. Help raise the minimum wage. Sign the petition at www.vafairwage.org. Sponsored by the Virginia AFL-CIO, working hard for all working people.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. At the White House today, President Bush announced that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has resigned. He will be replaced by former CIA Director Robert Gates, who served in the president's father's administration from 1991 to 1993. Just last week, as he was campaigning, President Bush said Rumsfeld would stay at the Pentagon through the end of his term. Gates' nomination needs Senate confirmation. At the news conference earlier today, the president said he spoke with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who will likely become the next House Speaker because of the Democratic victory last night. Mr. Bush also said he took responsibility for his party's losses. The Democrats picked up 33 seats in the House of Representatives to win the majority and end 12 years of Republican control. Nancy Pelosi, who is set to become the first female Speaker in U.S. history, said she also welcomed Rumsfeld's resignation as a signal of a new approach on the Iraq War. In the Senate, the Democrats picked up 5 of the 6 seats needed to take control. They now have 50 seats. In the close Montana race, Democrat John Tester is the winner over incumbent Republican Conrad Burns. However, Burns has not conceded. The last Senate seat that has not been decided yet is in Virginia. The race between Republican incumbent George Allen and Democratic challenger Jim Webb is still too close to call. However, Webb holds a slight lead. If Webb's margin of 8,000 votes holds, the Democrats will have 51 seats in the Senate. In Connecticut, Joe Lieberman won election as an independent after defeating Democrat Ned Lamont, who defeated him in the Democratic primary in August. Lieberman has said he will caucus with the Democrats. In other non-election news, in Gaza, at least 18 Palestinians were killed in Israeli army attacks on a residential neighborhood. 8 of the dead were children who were killed in their sleep. The Israeli defense minister said the strikes were ordered as a way to halt the ongoing artillery attacks in Gaza. As a result of the deadly Israeli strike, Hamas's military wing called on Muslims around the world to attack American targets as a way to, quote, teach the American enemy tough lessons, end quote. In Baghdad today, 2 mortar rounds killed 8 people on a soccer field in a Shiite district. Nationwide, more than 60 people were killed in violent attacks. The U.S. military reported 2 more U.S. troops were killed in Iraq today. There have been 23 troops killed so far this month. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
Kill high. Hornhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking. Here's a guy who not only banks at the bank, he helped build the bank building.
Yes, sir.
Do you find the fact that it's a local bank appealing?
Yes, that's just it. It was the local people in the community that originally started the bank, and that's why I got involved.
It's a local bank with big bank benefits. It's part of a network of banks. Does that mean anything to you?
Absolutely. Having a bank that can handle a big project really helps, because some banks aren't tailored to handle big business, and they can handle the big business for sure. They have no limitations to what they can do for your business.
I do my business banking and my personal banking with them.
Both?
Absolutely.
You're double dipping.
You bet.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks, available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
At the United Nations Conference on Climate Change today, a Nobel Peace Prize winner from Kenya called on people around the world to plant 1 billion trees over the next year. She said it's a way ordinary people can help the environment and combat global warming. In October, China's trade surplus hit a record high of nearly $24 billion. According to Chinese government officials, that was up 27% from the previous record high in August of nearly $19 billion. A bid to buy the Tribune Company has been submitted by two Southern California billionaire businessmen. The Chicago-based company owns the Los Angeles Times, Chicago Times, Chicago Cubs, and other media properties. The editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer is stepping down at the end of the year as Pennsylvania's largest newspaper continues to face falling circulation and ad revenue. The parent company of Airbus is reporting a $250 million third quarter loss, largely due to continuing delays in the production of the Airbus Super Jumbo A380 jet. And Federated Department Stores reporting third quarter loss of $3 million. Federated owns Macy's and Bloomingdale's and recently acquired May Department Store chain. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $59.93 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was up 20 points at 12,177, the NASDAQ up 9, the S&P 500 up 3. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov.
If you're a this is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11. This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
the
and
amps 8. Go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. Yeah.
Welcome aboard, everybody. John Fox down here in Sydney coming at you the day after the big day. Everybody feeling pretty good out there? The computer jiggery-poo couldn't even get in the way? I'm still kind of buzzed from the events of the election. I don't know about you, but, things have just... There seems to be a ray of sunshine this morning that wasn't out there, even coming through the cloud cover here in Sydney, Australia today. As usual, folks, please get in on the program by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And I don't really know how much green stuff we're going to get into today because, you know, I kind of stayed up a little bit last night after going off air with Bob and Bruce, and man, we had everybody ringing in, Joe Vecchio, Mark Levine, and I guess Mark's busy dealing with the Virginia recount, which, talk about down to the wire. I mean, it's almost as though someone wrote a script, but I'm not going to say that. Or did I just say that? And then I get up this morning here, you know, because it's kind of early here in Sydney, to find out that we have our first scalping. Rummy has resigned, which that made me do a very, very happy dance before I had my first coffee this morning, and it takes a lot to get me to dance in the morning. And I, you know, just couldn't have happened to a better guy. Rummy's just been a bumbling, just truly evil an arrogant fool, and I just couldn't be happier that he's decided to step down. Will the Democrats be able to change anything? I don't know, but I'm kind of getting the impression that we might. And although Nancy Pelosi pulled back on the impeachment talk leading up to the election, I have a feeling, and I have nothing to base this on, other than maybe playing some smart politics, that impeachment will come back onto the table, but after we have some hearings. I get the impression that leading up to the election, some of the Democrats, including Pelosi, were becoming wary that the impeachment talk could have been turned into sound bites for the Republicans. And maybe they pulled back on the talk just to get in. And once we have hearings and we start airing some of this dirty laundry, let the people demand the impeachment hearings. And then it's a great way to save face. Nancy Pelosi can say, well, I pulled it off the table trying to be nonpartisan, but the people have spoken, and the hearings have spoken. And so, you know, here's hoping. And I actually decided, you know, last night in our marathon coverage of the election, which was just so much fun, and it was great to hear from our listeners who were actually on the ground, either watching polls or, you know, had been on the phone banks or, you know, whatever it was, or, you know, our own Mark Levine, who is going to be directly involved in the recount. You know, I was feeling kind of like the John Madden of the horn yesterday. I'll just kind of hang back and say something stupid and funny once in a while. Partially because since I'm not there, I didn't have all these individual races kind of as well understood as I would have liked. But I did get a crash course, and I was doing some hunting around for things to talk about today, and I didn't realize that John Tester is an organic farmer. That's right. He's an organic farmer. Okay? Now, so the guy that just won the Senate seat in Montana could possibly be a really, really good little seed for better farming practice. And I've been having a little bit of a scan. I first found this at treehugger.com. I had had no idea. I had no idea that this guy was an organic farmer. And to be an organic farmer is not just something that you can go out and, you know, buy a label like, you know, 100% U.S. beef. It's not a trademark. There are practices that you must partake in. There are things that you cannot do. And it takes a lot of work. So, you know, this is not something that someone would have done just to, you know, win an election or make some points. I wish they would. but anyway, we'll get back a little bit and talk about John Tester's organic farm here. But we're coming up on our first break here on Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. So please, if you want to get in on the program, talk about the election, talk about green initiatives that like you'd like to see go forward, dial in to 1-877-443-2366, or you can email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. We'll get back. I'm going to mention a couple of things. I've got a press release from the UN Conference on Climate Change and some other things to talk about. So we'll see you straight after this. And this is Mr. Alex Lloyd right here from Sydney. See you after this.
Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at
the Head On Radio Network.
Now get back to work.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And that was Mr. Mark Lazotte, also known by his band's name as Diesel here in Australia. And I swear, he is Australia's greatest walking bluesman. He's just something else. And that's a bit of a live track from a live CD that he did last year, and he's got a brand new album out called Coat Hanger Antenna, which you can find online. You cannot go wrong by catching up with Mr. Mark Lazotte, and I've had the pleasure of getting to know him over the last few years on and off with a few gigs. And not only is he a brilliant musician and singer, he's a damn nice guy. Bloody nice guy. But anyway, I had just been sent something from our news ninja, and Bob would be interested in this, because this kind of falls into some of the things that we've talked about is, you know, when we talk about third-party candidates and the Greens should be part of the Democrats, and all these kind of things. And this is from a blog by a gentleman by the name of Shea Gunther, and that's SHEAGUNTHER.org. And he says, come discuss the Green Party versus the Democrats. Right now, Green isn't an issue on the national level because of two things, money and votes. There isn't enough money flowing into the DNC from targeted Green channels. Where are the Green Democratic pioneers? Where are the $1,000 a plate fundraising dinners for Democratic Senate candidates? So money comes into the DNC in vast, copious amounts from the Green lobby on level with the Teamsters and the prison guards unions and the old people and the weapons makers. Our voice will only be heard through the activists. I love the activist voice, but for true effective change, we're going to need to use every weapon we have. We have to play the game, and it's laid out in front of us. Bring a lot of money to the table, and we get to talk. And votes, and this is simple, he says, we've got to give up on the idea of a national third-party candidate. Bob Kincaid, are you listening? The Green Party has got to get back to the Democratic fold for presidential and congressional races. Focus on taking over state legislatures and build your base. Stop being spoilers and the tool of the Republicans. Retire Nader and get with the program. And he wraps it up with saying, be patient. He says, imagine how handicapped the Republicans would be if the evangelicals got all pissy and started their own Right Plus party and took their votes from them. Right now, the Greens are not a party I can vote for, even if I agree 100% that they are fielding the best candidate. Most Green candidates are not viable options, and when I cast my vote for one, taking away from the better of the two people who can actually win their race, I'm wasting my vote. And this is... I think this is very well stated. You know, and he says, and notwithstanding Al Gore, the Democrats are not going to make Green a big part of their platform unless they get get something into it. You know, and I agree with this. And Bob and I were talking about this issue last night, and where, you know, we have this thing where the Greens end up being spoilers. And I was trying to play devil's advocate a bit and explain why I think some of these people do it. But it is being short-sighted to be so idealistic that you end up effectively throwing your vote away. And so I think that we do need to get the Democrats with the program. Okay? On a national level, the Greens are a waste of time as far as running candidates. And I'm not trying to be nasty or ugly. It's just the reality of the situation. And, you know, I never see the Republicans getting on board except by fear of shotgun onto a Green platform. But the Democrats can. And for me, aside from the fact that environmental issues are still primarily ignored and swept under the rug up until now, hello, United States, get with the program. I am a Democrat. The Democrats are my party. I have to admit, I'm a registered independent. But the reason that is primarily because I saw the Democratic Party not standing up for the rest of us in election debacles and all kinds of other things. So I felt as a protest I would register as an independent, and as soon as the Democrats pulled their head out of their bums, I will re-register as a Democrat. But the one thing that I like about being registered independent, like in California in the primaries, I get to vote in both primaries. So there are some benefits, depending on your state, to be registered independent. You know, I can do what the Republicans do in some states and vote for the weaker of the Republican candidates in the primary that I really don't care about. So, I mean, who can play at that game? So, before we go to the half-hour break, we've got our environmental track of the day. Now, we've had a minor bit of trouble actually identifying exactly who this performer is. But the track we're going to play today is, we believe, called Keeper of the Mountain. And it's off of an album called Moving Mountains, the Music of Appalachia, which is the Coal River Mountain Watch people. A CD that they released, and they released a few of some beautiful Appalachian music to help raise money in the support for their fight to stop mountaintop removal and the destruction of homes and some other things. And Bob sent me a few tracks the other day, Company Town, which you've heard on Head On, and a few other things, but this bit of a cappella just bliss. It's beautiful. It's angry. It's funny. It's raw. And we have an update. Tanya Adkins is the artist. Thank you, Agnes. And like I said, you can actually find this CD at fallingmountain.com. And they've got some other music there. So if mountaintop removal is something that concerns you, well, you can go and get yourself some music and help the cause all at the same time. So please cruise by that website. But I just think we should go straight to this, Agnes. Coming here is Keeper of the Mountain from Moving Mountains, the Music of Appalachia. And we'll see you after the break.
In Southern West Virginia, the place where I going on. They're tearing up our mountains. They're taking away our hills. They're taking all our homeland and making valley fields. When will they stop this destruction? Oh, when will they ever leave? Just go back to where they came from. Let us live in our mountains and be free. We're the keepers of the mountains, as Larry Gibson has said. Love 'em, leave 'em, but I warn you, don't destroy them or leave them for dead. 'Cause we'll hunt you down like outlaws. We'll expose you for what you are. Greedy, thieving murderers who buy and sell our law-making liars. Now the moral of my story, you just listen to what I say. We'll protect our homes, our mountains. You do the same, or you better stay away.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at
the Head On Radio Network.
Now get back to work.
Thank you.
right, everybody. Welcome back to Foxed Up here for a day after the election edition here on the Head On Radio Network. Please feel free to call in 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And that last track was another kind of an Aussie legend, a guy by the name of Richard Clapton. And guys had always one of the best bands on the road. I had the pleasure of touring with them for about a year. And just an awesome, awesome, awesome songwriter. Kind of Springsteen-esque with the lyrics, kind of how, you know, there's certain Springsteen songs where if you close your eyes, you can see the boardwalk. You know, he just paints lyrical pictures, and Richard does the same thing. And hey, Ralph, how you doing? So anyway, where was I going? And how was that Tanya Adkins track? Is that just the coolest thing? Gonna hunt you down. Gotta love it. Anyway, now the where am I going? I'm going somewhere. There it is. Now the Nairobi United Nations Climate Change Conference opened a couple of days ago, and they're just kind of getting into their program for the week, so there's not all that much information that's come out as of yet, but I have here the press release from the 6th of November when they launched this thing. And they say the conference opens with a warning that climate change may be the most serious threat ever to face mankind. Here goes John with the doomsday stuff again. But see, this is the point. I have to go overboard on this little hour because y'all just don't get this stuff. Ah, well, we'll hold on with that because at the moment on the telephone, we have Dave from Humboldt County. How you going, Dave?
Hey, really great. Dave from up here in Northern California. I was...
I lived in Chico for a while. I love it up there.
Oh, really? Well, you knew some summers then. Yeah, sometimes... I fly little planes, and it gets so hot there sometimes you had to really struggle to get it off the ground with any load at all.
I'm not surprised, and the way, especially up in the Chico area, the way that it kind of is in that mountain valley, the summers are almost like rainforest type weather conditions. But what can we do for you today,
well,
sir?
Well, I was inspired by your conversation about the Greens and that they prove it really a detriment because we are a two-party system here, and so often I have found the Green candidate is by far the best candidate, and often I think we've got a Democrat that isn't going to be an awful lot better, but it isn't an option, really. I'm thought, how could it ever happen that we might get somebody? Because, you know, I know David Cobb, and I think the world of him.
Yeah.
He lives right here in a few blocks from me. We go to a lot of things together. But I thought if a really pretty decent Democrat got himself nominated to be the Democratic president and said and meant, you know, I would like to do what is in the best interest of this country. I've made a decision to support the Green candidate, and I call upon all of you to do the same in the interest of the country. But I don't think that will ever happen. I don't think the party would go crazy if that happened.
I'd love for the Greens to be a national force. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I really would, and show the other two up. But because of what I consider a flaw in the Jeffersonian system, it is a two-party system, so until there are other fundamental changes, we have to work within the system that we're in. And I do think that maybe more of the Greens need to become more of a policy writing and lobbying body, possibly, and try and move the Democrats into a much more green platform. Do you think that that's more the way that they should be looking? Because I agree with you with Cobb. I think he's a great guy. And, you know, if he, we could get someone like him or like, you know, someone more green-minded to actually become the Democratic candidate. And the last chance that we had at that was Al Gore. And, well, that was stolen.
Indeed, stolen is the word there. You know, I know that David Cobb may get his message out to say to vote for the Green is to give a message to the other parties, but where it's going to be tight, where you think there's a chance that your Democrat can lose by voting Green, don't vote for us. You know, he went into it knowing it's a two-party system, that they're there trying to give a message and to motivate the Democrats to be a little more progressive, I guess. And so he made it pretty clear, if you lived in an area that was in question, don't vote Green.
Well, kudos to him. I mean, you know, it's a very, very tough kind of situation, and that's a really good realist, you know, a very realistic stance to take. You know, send a message where it's safe and, you know, do the right thing where we need to do the right thing. However, I think we're at a point now in the game where we have to take such drastic action and really quickly. Do you see any way that the Greens can maybe readjust the way that they do things to get more influence?
Well, they've got themselves elected to state offices, assembly districts, and I think even state senate. Like we had in Oakland, the state assemblyman was a Democrat and probably the most corrupt assemblyman in the state of California. And he was running against a total right-wing wacko, and most people that went in to vote knew the two, and, you know, it was a matter of hold your nose and pull the lever, but then there was this Green option there. So surprisingly, a very high percentage of people voted for the Green, and she became assembly member from Oakland, California. They can have influence, I think, in those kind of cases where you've got two really bad candidates running and the people know it. And they won't.
Well, and I think the spoiler thing doesn't play quite the same in state races, you know, and local council things, where probably the Greens as a party can do really, really well for one, and not end up being frowned on as the spoiler for the Democrats in a presidential race per se. Say again?
I'm fortunate to live in an area where we have as many or more Greens as we have Republicans, so often we'll end up...
See, that's fantastic. to me, that's just fantastic. And, you know, here in Australia, we have a couple of Green MPs and whatnot, and it's because of the fact that we have, a preferential voting system, which is the inherent flaw that I see in the Jeffersonian system to allow third parties to become viable on a national level, where, you know, if, you know, you got a couple of Green senators actually into, you know, say, or, you know, a couple of Green congressmen, and, you know, just to say if we had preferences in the states, you know, and the Democrats were short one for a majority, well, then they'd have to create a coalition with the Greens or the Independents in which to be able to take the balance of power, which would then mean that these small parties would have a seat at the table, at the bigger table. And I think that's something that we have to find quickly, is a way to have a real seat at the table.
I wish they could be included more in the debate, because when that happens, I think the Democrats are forced to answer it. You know, if the Green candidate will say, we are for getting out of this immoral, illegal war. We are for honest government. We are, you know, putting the Democrat in the spot of either ignoring it or responding to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And I can't even tell you how happy I was to find out that what's his name here? John Tester's an organic farmer. Now here's a guy that probably could have run as a green if he had wanted to, but that wouldn't have been a smart move. He's hopefully going to be one to maybe bring the green platform to the Senate. I just think it's a great thing.
That is great. You know, to me, it is so disappointing that the Democrats, most of them here, so much do not want to be labeled in a negative way by the right-wing wacko radio that they compromise so deeply. You know,
it's ridiculous because, you know, it is the key issue facing everybody, and it's that fear of being labeled anti-business by saying that you're green, and that's not actually true. And I'm hoping that we're going to be able to dispel that argument more and more, because it's going to be those that take the initiatives to jump on new technology to lessen the impact of farming, of energy generation. All these things are going to be ending up the ones making the feature bucks.
Well, their fear, I think, that they get labeled things like weak on defense. If they oppose the war, they get labeled as conspiracy theorists. If they look at the reality of some of the crimes that this administration has obviously been involved in, they don't want.
Go ahead.
They don't want to risk those labels being put on them, so they don't deal with reality that needs to be addressed. I mean, it is a reality to me is that this White House crew should be not only impeached, they should be prosecuted. I think they're guilty of any number of capital offenses. I'm not a favor of capital punishment, but I do think that they should be doing some serious prison time for the amount of harm that they have inflicted on this country and other parts of the world for their own personal gain.
I couldn't agree more. And with that, I'm going to have to bring this one to an end because we're up on a break. David, thanks so much for ringing in. And, keep in touch and let us know good things that are coming out of your area, because I know that is a progressively green area of the country. I remember Chico fondly. Yeah, and I just remember Chico having an absolute protective atmosphere about Bidwell Park. And that has stayed with me for ages. So thanks so much, David, for being on the program.
I love your Whole Horn Network.
Thank you, mate. Thank you, mate. We love you too, and thank you for spending your time with us.
Right.
So with that, we're gonna head out to this last break before we wrap up Foxed Up for a Wednesday afternoon, early evening, and we'll see you right after this.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. This is a story about two U.S. soldiers at Abu Ghraib. The first, Alyssa Peterson, died on September 15, 2003. Alyssa Peterson was a whiz at foreign languages, and she quickly mastered Arabic shortly after enlisting. Impressed with that skill, the Pentagon sent Alyssa Peterson to Abu Ghraib to do interrogations. She was horrified by what she saw. This, according to reporter Kevin Elston of Flagstaff Public Radio, KNAU, who obtained FOIA documents about her. Peterson objected to the interrogation techniques used on prisoners, Elston said. She refused to participate after only 2 nights working in the unit known as the cage. She was reassigned on the base, but the torture she witnessed was too much for her. On the night of September 15, 2003, Alyssa Peterson used her rifle to take her own life. Sergeant Santos Cardona also was at Abu Ghraib. He served there in 2003 and in 2004. In fact, he was a dog handler, a convicted dog handler. In May, a military court found him guilty of aggravated assault and dereliction of duty. He was fined and given 90 days hard labor. Now, according to Time magazine, Sergeant Cardona has headed back to Iraq. His assignment? To train the Iraqi police. Now, that's really messed up. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here are some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything.